All right, guys, everybody, thanks for showing up. Go ahead and get started here. Like you said, my name is Ryan Williamson. I'll be talking about the effects of river otter augmentation on muskrat and mussel populations within Mammoth Cave National Park, primarily on the Green and Nolan Rivers. To get y'all introduced into this, I thought I'd talk about the first phase of the project, which was carried out in 2002 by Kim Asmuth here at UT. She examined the predator-prey relationship between muskrat and mussels. She used stable isotope analysis to reveal that muskrats do commonly consume mussels and that the carrying capacity of muskrats was actually increased due to the presence of mussels. She also documented a small transient otter population on the far west end of the park, and she determined some baseline information, primarily a muskrat density estimate. To talk a little bit about the freshwater mussels within the Green River drainage, there are 72 species of mussels historically on the river. There are 53 of those species still existing today. Of those 53 species, 14 are threatened and endangered. They're primarily declining due to altered flow regimes by the building of lowhead dams, which you see here in the background. What this does, it pulls up the water and eliminates riffle habitat that mussels need for existence. And they're also declining due to muskrat predation that Asmuth talked about earlier.
Can I just use the arrow key on that?
There we go. Battery must have died. I thought I'd brief y'all a little bit about what a river otter is, since a lot of people do not know. It's a semi-aquatic mustelid. They produce a litter of 1 to 6 per year, most commonly being 3 to 4 on average. They rely on other animals such as beavers and muskrats for burrows to den in. They're a valued fur bearer. Last year, otter pelts sold for about $120 a piece, primarily to the Chinese markets. They do exhibit delayed implantation, very similar to black bears. This is a historic range of otters. Here in the Green, it pretty much consists of about 90% of North America. Due to human encroachment, habitat degradation, and over-harvest, the range has been brought to what you see here in the orange. And due to those factors, many states have reintroduced otters. To date, I believe it's up to 21 states, and all those reintroductions have been highly successful. Justification for the project: many mussel species are in huge decline, many have become extinct, and many are in great danger of becoming extinct. So it's preservation and conservation of those species is imperative. As also, anecdotal observations suggest that after a river otter introduction, muskrat numbers decline. So the whole premise of my project is to initiate an introduction to see if the muskrats have an interaction and if the population goes up or down or what happens there. And hopefully that interaction will inversely increase the population of mussels. So the project outline: we're going to continue the density estimate that Asmuth started in 2002, primarily by spotlight surveys to inventory the muskrat density. And we're going to capture and release and radio mark river otters and establish them in the study area. We're also going to capture muskrats within those otter home ranges after they become established. We're going to continue monitoring muskrat middens, and a muskrat midden is an area where a muskrat will find a mussel out there in the river, drag it to a secure location, and feed on that mussel, and all the shell fragments will be left behind. We're also going to document the use of the study area by the otters. If the otters aren't using the study area, the interaction can't happen. So we have to make sure the otters are actually using the study area. We're going to use scat analysis of the otters to determine if there's any predation that is occurring. And hopefully this list of things that we go through here will determine the interaction if there is one. So the objectives of the project is to determine the effects of river otter augmentation on muskrat and mussel populations. The second objective is to determine the success of the augmentation. The study area is Mammoth Cave National Park. It's located in south central Kentucky. It's about 2 hours north of Nashville. this little area here. It's Mammoth Cave National Park right outside of Bowling Green. And this is an expanded view of the area. The red line is the national park boundary. And the Green and Nolan Rivers, marked here by the red lines, consist of about 52 kilometers of waterway within the park. That waterway is surrounded by about 21,000 hectares of forested ecosystems. And Mammoth Cave National Park is known primarily for being the world's largest cave system. I think there's 350 miles of actual mapped cave. And in 1981, it was designated a World Heritage Site, and in 1990, a International Biosphere Reserve. On to the nuts and bolts of how we're going to do this. We're actually going to capture, relocate, and radio mark a total of 20 river otters and reintroduce them into the study area. We're going to be capturing these animals at latrine sites, crossovers, pullouts, with a number 11 modified foothold trap. These traps were modified with inline springs and swivels to reduce animal damage. These traps are going to be anchored to the ground via a cabled earth anchor. Once these animals are trapped, we're going to remove the trap, place them in a specially designed barrel, transport them to a veterinarian. The veterinarian will anesthetize them with a ketamine diazepam drug mixture. Once that animal is anesthetized, we're going to implant a intraperitoneal implant in the paralumbar region, which is the area between the ribs and the hip. A small incision there, as you can see, that's the size of the otter transmitters. And we are going to compare pre and post muskrat densities using a spotlight survey that Asmus initiated in 2002. It's primarily going to be floating down the river, spotlighting at night, locating muskrats, recording numbers and locations, which should give us a relative index of the estimate of the density, I mean. And we're also going to do this on a control area where otters have already been reestablished. As you can see, the muskrat there in the picture, it's kind of hard to see. Once those otters become established in the study area, we're going to capture and radio mark muskrats within the otter home ranges to determine if there's any interaction between the two species. These muskrats will be trapped using muskrat colony traps where greater than one animal can be captured at a time. These traps will be baited with apples, parsnips, whatever's available, and in combination with a commercial muskrat lure. Once these animals are captured, they will also be transported to the veterinarian where they will implant a transmitter. So for a size comparison, there's the muskrat transmitter and there's the otter transmitter. Also in the paralumbar region. Telemetry will be conducted simultaneously on both animals at night for a comparison of location, since both animals are primarily nocturnal. I know the pictures of me in the daylight, but you know. So we're going to also compare midden activity pre and post otter release. And this is primarily done by the Tennessee's Cooperative Fisheries Use Research Unit at Tennessee Tech. They have a contract with the Park Service to evaluate mussel fauna and status over a 12-year period. And to establish predation rates, we'll actually go to a muskrat feed bed or a midden, collect all the mussels at a designated point, go back at a later point in time, and collect from the same midden those mussels to get a predation rate. To document that the otters are actually used in the study area, we're going to use scent station surveys, which is a 1 meter squared smooth area where tracks can be observed. The scent stations will have a lure placed in the middle of them where the animal will approach and smell the lure. Multiple lures are going to be used to prevent habituation to scent. And resident otter trap sites will be used at scent stations. Telemetry will also be conducted to make sure the otters are using the study area as well. This is what you'd somewhat see at a scent station. That's a great picture of an otter track, best one you'll ever see. We're also going to be using scat analysis to determine if predation is occurring. There should be a presence or absence of muskrat hair. That's what we're looking for. Otters primarily consume about 80% crayfish during the summer and about 80% crayfish, 80% fish during the winter. This last method slide pretty much talks about the last objective, which is to determine the success of the augmentation. Basically, we're going to use radio telemetry and sign and track identification to determine the success, survival, reproduction, movements, and home ranges. The preliminary results for the project, spotlight surveys are indicating that there has been a reduction in population of muskrats, and the next slide will illustrate that. Scent station surveys are showing that otters are using the study area. Of 570 trap nights, we had 27 visits by otters, which is a pretty small visitation rate, but yet they are still using it. And to date, 16 otters have been tagged and relocated. This is an illustration of the spotlight surveys, or the muskrat density index per kilometer. As you can see, between 2003 and 2007, there has been a pretty big decline in muskrat numbers. This is a three-year project, so we'll be collecting a lot of data to account for any environmental variables. At this time, I'd like to thank Dr. Joe Clark, Dr. Moeller, Jim Laser from Tennessee Tech, Steve Thomas, and the other members of Mammoth Cave National Park Service, Will Gigu, Alana Gaskell, and Jared Laufenberg, who have assisted in all this. Does anybody have any questions? The question was, what was the best kind of transmitters to use for otters? Looking at past research, some researchers have tried collars, but since river otters are an aquatic mammal, a collar caused a lot of mortality, getting hung on underwater and the animal drowning. Plus, they have to be a really waterproof collar, and there's some issues there. So internal transplants seem to be the, transmitters seem to be the best ideal transmitter for the animal, and it just floats freely in the interperitoneal cavity, and it doesn't have any effect as far as like reproduction that studies have shown.
So that was the safest place to put it.
Mm-hmm.
What other predators are there on mussels, and could they potentially increase the abundance and obscure any cascade?
The question was, is there any other predators on mussels, and could there be any other cascading effects from those predators, correct? As far as I know, there are no other predators to mussels. The biggest thing that's, like I said, reducing mussel numbers is the building of lowhead dams, which eliminate habitat. And as far as I know, without any other predators, I don't think there could be any other cascading effects that I'm aware of.
If you're having to do otter reintroductions, is there a law being put in place against trapping?
No, there is no. I'm sorry, the question was, has there been a law initiated to reduce mortality due to trappers? As far as I know, there is no law out there that says that they can't trap, because otter numbers in Kentucky this far are doing really well. So no, there hasn't been, but I'm going to be sending out letters to trappers in hopes of getting my transmitters back. But as far as I know, there aren't any trappers in the immediate area. But it's possible, I suppose.
You mentioned the dams are a big problem. How much of a mussel problem or reduced numbers are being threatened is due to the dams versus muskrat predation? Are there more muskrats now than you can shake a stick at? Or is it 50% of the problem? I know it's just a guess. I know. But if you really use otters, would you substantially expect this substantially increase muscle numbers?
So the question was, is how big of an impact does otters and or muskrats and lowhead dams have on mussel?
Lowhead.
versus low-head dams. There are... Well, there are low-head dams on the Green River. There's actually one right below the study area that has made a eliminated all the riffle habitat on half the study area. So that's made a huge impact, and they're getting ready to remove that as well, hopefully here sometime in the near future. And I would say that elimination of habitat is far greater than muskrat predation since, but it does seem to be right now that there is some kind of impact from river otter introductions on muskrats, but I don't think muskrats have a huge impact just because there's not enough of them to consume that many mussels.
Okay, that's what I thought. Thank you.
Any more questions?
Yeah.